Hello.
It's us. You know us. The names are right, like right there. And well, I can't put my finger on his screen, but if you follow my finger, right there is his name, right? Okay, so. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Space Tomatoes Podcast with your hosts. We just discussed this. It's me and that guy.
Hello, I'm that guy.
Hi,
nice
that
to
guy.
See you again.
The Havoc and LX show. You have to figure out which one is which. Good luck.
I'm that guy.
Yeah, right. So you were sharing with me just previous. We do this all the time. It's just what we do. So this time
we should
quick.
Just hit record as soon as we come on.
I snapped it pretty quick, right? But you were talking about a meme you sent me, but it's not a meme. It's an actual thing.
No, I do look at Facebook, which I know you don't do, but this thing's been all over the place. Apparently a Florida guy decided, I don't know what his, I didn't read it that much. He decided to shave off his beard and get a haircut, and he looks dramatically different. You can post a picture probably on there and show everybody, but
yeah,
the general consensus was, dude, you should have just left it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm going to have to agree with that consensus. Put it back. Put it back. Do it quick.
Yeah. A lot of the comments were saying, like, beards are makeup for a guy, I guess.
Right. Basically, yeah.
They cover a lot of imperfections,
apparently. They certainly can. Yeah, that's for sure. I'll probably shave mine off this coming year. We'll see. Be all baby
like
face
completely?
On the podcast.
Yeah. Start again? Really?
All over.
Wow.
Doesn't take that long.
No?
It only takes me like 6 weeks to get a, you know, short beard already gone. 6-8 weeks, I think. Yeah. My wife likes it short anyway, but she does and doesn't, right? Because it gets pokey when it's short.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't like the pokey part. She likes the soft.
No.
Which is also why.
You use like those beard oils and all that stuff?
Not like all the time, but yes.
Oh, not all the time, but yes.
Well, I don't do it every single day, right? But I do use beard oils. It's good. Mm-hmm. It helps it, you know, stay soft, moisturize. It's for, you know, partly for your skin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I usually get a trim every, you know, decade or so when somebody drags me to the place. Right.
Decade or two when I'm forced to. Like, where are we going? Wait a minute here. I didn't sign up for this. Yeah. Held hostage.
Yeah. I didn't always have a beard.
No? You weren't born with one? Because I could see that. Like, baby LX just comes out. Full beard.
Dude, I bet I would probably look as good as the guy in that picture if I shaved mine off.
Nah. I don't know. How would I know? I've never seen you without one, so.
I don't know. Maybe. They got those filters now. I don't know how accurate they are. You could see what you look like. I don't have access to any of that stuff, but I've seen it done.
I bet your wife does.
Nah, she doesn't do that stuff.
We could find someone. I know people. I'll have them up.
Fun.
He'll do it for you.
Nah, dude, I don't want to bag on the guy too much. I mean, you know, it'll grow back.
It will. It'll grow back. Yeah. It's no big deal. And it's, you know, it's one of those things. Like, you've seen it before. I've seen it before. You know, yeah, people can look phenomenally different with a beard. It really does kind of, you know, square out and, you know, give the illusion of a jawline and everything else when if you don't have one.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting thing. It is weird to see someone, like even someone like my old, I had a guy I worked under for a while, and he had a big, you know, brush mustache, you know, like a broom. And he shaved it off, and then I saw him, and I was like, what? Oh, my gosh, it looks so weird for you to have a top lip. That's just crazy, right? You know, and then, you know, full beard is just, like, you know, half your face just changes. I mean, it's just weird. It's different.
Yeah. You ever seen those videos of like little kids and their dad shaves his face and then they start crying because they don't know who the heck he is?
Yeah. I've seen,
I've been told I did that. Like my father always had a mustache and I don't remember it, but yeah, apparently he shaved it all off and I started crying. But that, I mean, that was before like video cameras and stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously.
No, I saw one of those yesterday. It was hilarious, you know? Like kids, like in the car, the dad's sitting in the driver's seat and he looks back and they're like, ah, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's weird. I mean, it's a different thing. Yeah. I imagine it'll be weird too for the people watching the podcast. They'll be like, hey, some have seen me with no facial hair. So
whatever. You know who doesn't notice that stuff though?
Who?
Dogs.
No.
They don't care at all.
We go back to the pants on this. They don't greet each other by looking at your face. Same scent.
I guess.
Thankfully, they don't just run up and stick their noses in our buttholes. All the time, anyway.
Sometimes.
You're right. You're standing there. You're like, wait, get out of there.
Our German Shepherd would goose people.
Yep. The Belgian will come up and she does this thing. She has like a very long, slender nose.
Oh, it's pointy. It's very pointy. It's
very pointy. And she'll do this thing. She'll come up behind people and she'll go bump, bump with her nose right on their butt. It's just bump, bump. Like, what is that anyway? It's the bump greeting. Oh, look, we're matching.
We are. Oh, yeah. We're wearing the same shirt again.
Yeah. Nice. We need to get like a little photo shoot going with us on the deuce. With our green shirts on. I need a
flannel, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, I got one.
Well, there you go.
It's actually chilly outside today. It was 38 when I went to let the chickens out this morning.
That is pretty cold.
For Florida, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Arctic.
I don't know about Arctic. There'd be no ice or snow in the Arctic, but okay. Hopefully, maybe you guys will make it through. I mean, it's supposed to be on average, right? Doesn't mean we won't have cold snaps and we won't have spells that come in. But on average, it's supposed to be a drier and warmer winter because of the, was it El Nino pattern that came in?
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? Maybe you'll get by with no freeze. And you'll have tomatoes all through winter.
We might actually have banana trees that produce for 1 year. Well, that's, I don't know.
That would be cool, too, man.
I know you wouldn't know anything about that.
Nope. Ours have melted successfully.
last year, they shot a bunch out, and then it immediately froze at the end of the week, and that was the end of that. We tried to put lights on them and save them. That didn't work.
Oh, that would suck. Seeing the bananas and then having them all die and just be like...
They were cute. So they were like little ones.
So close. Ours just melts. I thought we maybe got lucky this year because, you know, we had our first freeze like in early November. I was like, what the heck is going on here? Because that is not normal.
What was that flying through the air?
This is what happens when you have an indoor cat that has floofs, not like a short hair cat, like a cat.
Yeah, I saw it. Like,
yeah, ragdoll. It just flies. It just goes. It doesn't like, it's the laws of physics do not apply. I will float. I will go higher for no reason. And then I will come down and then I'll just stay in the air, like hang time of like, you know, 27 days or something.
You know what you need? You need a sign outside of your studio. No cats or cat floof allowed past this point. And then, like, by law, they have to abide by that. That's
what
I've heard. Yeah.
Really? Or what? I take, like, legal action and sue my cat?
Mm-hmm.
And be like, bastard.
What do I get? Signs are good for that. Don't you know any place that has a sign? It has to be legally followed.
That's how things work.
Right?
Yes. This goes to the whole prohibition arguments, you know? It works great. Signs work great for the law abiding. So does prohibition. Works great for the law abiding. Mm. Does not work for the people that are going to do it anyway. It never has.
Those darn cats don't follow laws.
Yeah, cats. I have a better idea. Open the front door. Close the front door.
Your wife would not appreciate that.
No, I'd probably be out there too with the cat.
Mm.
Yeah, and the cat would probably be back in.
And I'd be out there. And you'd be out, yeah.
Yeah, Domino and I'd be curled up on the front porch on a box.
Mm-hmm.
This is my box. I wonder if we'd have to, like, fight for box territory.
I don't know. He doesn't seem like he fights people too much. He's probably a scrapper with other cats, though, I'm guessing.
Oh, he totally is. And he loves to kill things. To kill things. Everything. If he can, he will.
Mm.
Yeah. He doesn't go after the chickens, though. Not even small ones. He's like, yeah, that's fine. I think he understands that they're, you know, part of our flock of things, so he doesn't mess with them. But he is terrified of the turkeys and the geese, probably for really good reason.
Yeah, they get, like, those pretty sharp teeth and stuff.
Big fangs, yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't mess with them. I mean, why would he? He's significantly smaller.
Exactly, yeah. No, but yeah, that's the thing. They're just big, and he, you know, what's he going to do, you know? A little 10-pound cat, 9-pound cat, and a, you know, 40-pound bird. Not going to go well.
Running is a good option.
Yeah. But, so we went to the Kubota dealer and got that battery.
Oh, okay.
Which, amazingly enough, you would think that Kubota would not be the preferred place to go get a Kubota battery for your Kubota tractor, because that usually means, like, Kubota money for
super
your Kubota.
Super expensive, yeah. Right? That's the first thing that shot my mind, is like, oh, man, this thing's going to be, like, ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it was between $40 and $70 cheaper than the auto parts stores. Yeah, the auto parts stores wanted like $180 for it, and this was like $130, $134 or something like that.
Wow, maybe next time I need a battery for my car, since my car uses the exact same size, I'll just go get a Kubota battery. Let me know how it'll last for you.
Yeah, the only thing is the CCA on it, cold cranking amps, is lower than a car battery would be. So instead of like 500 range, which yours was probably between 450 and 550, I think this one's 400.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. But for the little diesel motor, it seems to do just fine until it doesn't. And then it doesn't. But, you know, that's with all batteries. They just, I don't anymore.
Pretty much. They used to give warning, like where it would like, and now they're just like, you go out there, maybe you get a click, and then it's done. They don't even tell you.
Yeah, they're just dead. You're like, what? We was fine. And it's like, yeah, well, it's been 13 months on your one-year battery, so I've died. There's definitely some planned obsolescence going on in that. Oh, man. Yeah, for anyone, if you want to watch something that will just boil your blood, and I mean really boil your blood, just go on YouTube and search for this. Planned obsolescence light bulb. That's it. Just go search for that and watch that like 30-minute. I think it's from a well-known like science-y channel, right? At least one of the top ones that'll come up. It's around 30 minutes. And it'll boil your blood. You'll just be like, wait a minute, what? Light bulbs lasted 100 years and now they what? And they all got together and planned this? This isn't a conspiracy. This is freaking reality. And it's still going on today. Today. Right now, there is a consortium of light bulb producing motherfuckers that are out there. And they have a shared lab. And they put their shit in there. And they all tweak their shit to make sure that nobody's shit lasts too much longer than anybody else's shit. And you get to pay for it. You.
That doesn't seem very fair.
You would, I think that's illegal, right? I mean, like,
you would think.
We know.
Like, isn't it illegal to, like, fix prices and stuff? Like, yes. Get together and do that kind of stuff? Like,
yes.
Why wouldn't that be illegal? I don't know.
Don't know. That I can't understand. I really don't. It just seems like something that would be highly illegal. It's definitely anti-competitive.
Hmm.
I mean, so how can it not be running afoul of anti-compete laws?
I don't know. So what do you want to bring back? The old incandescent bulbs?
I like the incandescent, man. I really did. I mean, energy-wise...
They're a little less harsh.
Yeah, way less harsh. Less harsh. They didn't cause, like, headaches or other kinds of problems like those CFLs did, the compact fluorocarbons or whatever, whatever they are.
Yeah, compact fluorescence.
Fluorescence, that's it.
Yeah.
Those things, terrible for your eyes, terrible for your mental state in general because of the flicker. And then you got LEDs, which they're better now, but they still put out a pretty harsh light. You know what I mean? Compared is my take on it. So
I did see a thing. There's like a firehouse somewhere. I don't know. Maybe I don't know where it's at, but they got like a light bulb that's been on for over 100 years nonstop. It never turns off.
Yep.
I mean, of course, it's about as bright as a candle. It's not very bright, but it's been on.
Hey, you know.
That's pretty amazing.
It's proof that something like a 50-year light bulb of modern lighting standards is without question possible. Like, you could literally go buy the lights for your house and live in your house and probably never change a light bulb.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of the last time I changed the light bulb. It's been a while.
Not me. We had all those electrical issues. If you were watching the series, you've known that we had some electrical issues that was causing light bulbs to go out every 3 to 6 weeks in a number of our lights. And we could not figure out what the heck was going on. And we had a power failure and then found out that they were running way too much current on our neutral. Like, you know, there's a very low acceptable amount to have on neutral, and ours was close to double the high limit on that. We were also running over voltage, so we were getting, you know, way more voltage than what should be on a line. And you put those two things together, especially with modern lights, LED, CFL, you know, the fluorescence, and it they all have circuits inside of them, and it screws up the circuit, and that's what causes the bulb to go out. So we didn't know, but now we do, and now our light bulbs have been going strong since. So hopefully we'll be okay.
You know what I'm thinking? Sabotage. Who'd you piss off?
Probably be easier to write a list of the people that I haven't. I think. I don't know.
Nah, I'm glad you get it fixed.
Me too.
Yeah.
Cause electrical stuff's never good, you know?
Mm.
It's one of those things. So, but anyway, we were at the Kubota dealer and we did all that and then decided to walk around and I looked at a little mini excavator and that was cool. Yeah, a little tiny thing, which would work for us. It would be perfect, but I don't know if I can justify the expense to own one.
What size are you talking about? Like a 2-ton?
No, like a half ton, I think.
Oh, okay.
One of the little teeny, you know, something on the farm. I don't need something that I can dig ponds with all the time, you know? But I would like to build a root cellar. Would be nice. And so a backhoe. Either that or a very long time with shovels. And it'll turn into a pond.
I'm not that familiar with the little ones like that. Would they be able to dig like a 2-foot-wide hole by maybe 6 foot, maybe 6 feet deep?
You should be, yeah. Okay. Maybe not. The depth might be an issue on that one, the reach on the arm. So it might be a little shallow,
I'm just curious.
Your hole might be a little shallow.
Random home. My random just, hole, I mean.
Yeah, random hole for yeah. no particular purpose.
No particular reason.
Yeah. Or you might have to hand dig out the last foot or two. I don't remember what the reach is on them.
Well, then never mind then.
Right.
I'm not interested.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you could probably dig a good, you know, hole if you needed to store things in, you know.
Yeah. It's a big decision buying a piece of equipment like that. It's they're not cheap.
No, and you have to consider maintenance and everything else, right? I mean, Kubota's pretty solid. The one benefit is they do offer 0% financing. Mm. So it's kind of like, you know, I mean, if you're going to finance something, that's the way to do it.
Yeah. 0%. How long are the terms on something like that?
Three years, typically. 3 years, okay. Sometimes five. Depends. Dollar amount will make that determination, but probably do a 3 year on something like that.
Now, here's the other question. With the cost of the equipment plus the maintenance and everything that's required, is it cheaper just to rent it when you need it?
Well, and that's what we were looking at. And I can rent a 2-ton unit for like $1,500 a week for a full week, 7 full days. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think that's probably the better economical decision for us for an excavator. Right.
I mean, so, it sounds like a lot of money, but it, you know, like if you're only doing it 1 week that you need it, you're not putting out $60,000 for for a machine.
Right. Right. Well, the one I wanted to get wasn't 60. The one we can rent is 60, 60 and some change. And the one we can rent is a 2-ton unit. And that's going to take care of what we need. That's more than what we need. Right.
Right.
To, you know, build up some swales, do a root cellar, build up the goose pond, you know, those types of things. It's just a matter of, let me figure out what am I going to do, right? What projects? And that's the big piece.
So when you rent something for a week, do they give you an hour limit that you're allowed to put on that thing? Or is it just however much if you want to run it 24/7 for a week?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but I won't be running it, you know. I mean, but you got a point, right? Someone could come in and rent it and use it on a job site for freaking three shifts and really put a... I don't know if they put a limit on it, to be honest with you. I don't, right? But I also don't know that they'll rent to a company. There's the difference. Like, I think if you came in with a road construction company and said, yeah, we want to rent this as a road construction company, they'd be like, how about no?
You think so? I don't know. Maybe.
Either that or there'd probably be a different kind of contract that had hours and maintenance schedule and everything else, right?
Now, how does that work? Like, if you had one and you needed it serviced, do you have to transport it to them or will they come get it?
Well, I mean, you can have them come and work on it on site, but you're paying mobile charges and that's going
to double. I don't know that a half ton pickup will pull that large.
No,
it might pull it, but it probably ain't going to stop very well.
We asked them for about delivery. It's, you know, $300 round trip for us. So,
That's probably worth it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you'd need a dual axle trailer without question for that thing. And then you're talking about, you know, like you said, like my truck won't pull that. I mean, it would, but I would be driving dangerously. And I mean, really dangerously.
What does that machine weigh? About 10,000 pounds or so?
Probably at least. Yeah.
Yeah. Counterweights are pretty heavy on them things. The tracks. Right. Is rubber tracks on it?
This one had rubber. Yes, it did.
Yeah.
So softer touch. But at the same time, you're still looking at something that has a 4,000 pound bucket load.
Oh, right? Okay.
So with a 9,000 pound breakout force on the arm. So when you start to think about that, you know that the thing has been counterweighted to accommodate that level of weight. So you've at least 10,000 pounds. And my truck is not going to handle that. No, I mean, that's going to put me in a situation where after about, you know, the first breaking episode, I'll be smoking.
Your transmission probably wouldn't like it either.
No. Not even a little toe button would help on that one.
So you're getting that pretty soon then, huh?
Yeah, we're thinking we may, just because we've got the holiday break, we may do that and get some projects done. It's going to depend if we can find the right liner for the goose pond and the solar pump. I don't want to bring it in and not do all the projects. If I'm going to spend $1,500, I want to line out all the stuff I want to do and have it ready to go. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see.
You can come up and supervise.
Yeah, you come on up. I'd love to help, honestly.
I'll wear a safety vest and just point.
You can teach me,
you missed
teach me how to weld, too.
You always say that. It never happens.
Well, you know, alpaca isn't exactly the best time to be like, let's go focus on this thing for 6 hours.
That's true. Know?
It's kind of like we're all here together. We're here to enjoy each other's company. So, yeah. Yeah. But you could have stayed.
Always next time.
Could have stayed extra time.
I could have, but I didn't.
Yeah, it's all right.
We did the hopefully, rental thing, too. Had to bring the car back.
Yeah, hopefully the puppies will come soon. Then you'll have to be back up here.
Maybe.
Then maybe you could just extend your stay by a day or two. Hang out with us. Go pick up the puppies on the way home. Now I've raised it, by the way. It's now puppies. There's
yeah, that ain't happening. Made that mistake twice in our life already.
Don't you need two dogs?
Now, we thought that for a long time. But won't they be lonely? Not this time.
Won't they be lonely?
No.
Sad puppy.
No.
Poor little puppy.
Not even a chance. But you know what happens is I say that, and then we get one. This is like what happened every time. We only intended to have one, and then like somebody calls us that, you know, like, oh, we got this, you know, puppy that needs a home, and we thought of you guys, and it'd be the best place, and we want to know if you're interested, and then like, how do you say no to that?
You do this. No.
It didn't work the last two times, but it's going to have to work this time.
Someone calls up. They're like, hey, we've got a problem, but I'd like you to take our problem. Would you like a problem? Don't you want problems? Come on. You don't have enough problems.
No, thank you. I'm
good. But ours is free. You can have our problem for free.
Yeah. Sometimes free is the more expensive option.
Oh, yeah.
For some reason.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not always. Not always, but yeah, certainly at times. Oh, talked to Bird. He's bringing me a tractor tire. I wanted a big tractor tire.
For what? Stuff. Not for your tractor.
No. That thing would fit over my tractor. Wouldn't go anywhere. I'd look like one of those stupid trucks, but backwards.
Oh, like a big combine tractor tire?
Probably, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Something big, meaty.
What are you going to do with that?
Stuff.
Like what?
I don't know yet.
Mosquitoes?
What do you mean?
Like when the water sits inside it?
Oh, yeah.
Breed mosquitoes?
No, we're not going to do that. We'll put more mosquito torpedoes in there. That'll solve that problem. You know what that is?
No, I have no idea.
It's a little thing. It looks like a little fish. It's, you know, black, dusty. You could toss it in a pond. You could toss it in a puddle. You could toss it in tractor tire. You could toss it in your stock tank. And it's got stuff in it that the mosquitoes don't like. So they won't drop the larva in there.
All right.
Yeah.
So you got a secret tractor tire project coming up, huh?
Well, part of it's for our oldest. He wants to, we've talked about doing this for a long time. He's he likes to work out and do stuff like that. So part of it's for that. And my guess is it'll be used once. But the secondary thing is I want a pecan tree. And I was figuring if I can get a tractor tire, I can put a pecan tree in the center of it, and mulch the hell out of it all the way to the depth of the tire, and then forget about it for 10 years. Because that's how long it takes before it'll start producing any nuts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in those 10 years, that's when you get built up all around you and you don't even want to be there anymore.
It's possible. It is possible. In which case, I'm taking my tire.
Mm-hmm. Let me know how that works out.
Yeah, it won't. If it goes the way I think, it'll end up being there forever. So,
dude, those tires are heavy. So I made a deal with somebody once. I saw these military truck tires, gigantic. I don't remember what size they were. Like, they were big. And the guy had them for cheap. And I made a deal, went up there and picked them up. Of course, I didn't realize that they were like 400 pounds a piece. Yeah, they're pretty heavy to move. Dude, oh, yeah. I got like 16 of those things. And then to come to find out, they won't even fit on my truck. So I ended up selling them. The guy bought them from New Jersey. It worked out in the end, but yeah. That was my foray into the world of used gigantic tires. No, I'm done with it.
Mm-hmm. I just want one. That's all. I don't want a collection of them. I definitely don't want a set of them. I want one. Mm. Just one. Very large tire, please.
Nice.
Now we'll see if I can actually move the damn thing. Could be problematic.
Yeah. It depends on how much they weigh. The things get heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we'll be able to manage. We'll see.
You get a tractor. You'd be all right.
There you go.
I did not have a tractor.
That would make it more difficult. Yeah. Yeah.
I had a couple guys with me. That helped a lot.
Yeah. I'm sure I could lift it with the tractor. As long as it's not over 700 pounds, I'm good.
Yeah.
And if it's over 700 pounds, I'll just be like, dude, really?
Nice.
Can't be. It's not possible.
No. I think it'll be good.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I don't even think. Well, I guess like mining equipment, you might get 700 pound plus tires, right? But outside of that, I don't see it being that heavy.
Front end loader tires, dude, those things are heavy. I don't know what they weigh, but yeah, you ain't moving them by yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
They got like a crane on the side that puts it on there.
Mining equipment, essentially.
Yeah.
Or quarry equipment, I guess, but same thing, right? I mean, you're mining rocks. So, yeah. But it'll be interesting. We'll see what happens with it. I don't know. It may just sit there and collect dust. That's fine, too. At least we'll have a tractor tire. Every farm should have a tractor tire. Am I wrong? Come on, now. Like, do you really have a farm if you don't have a tractor tire somewhere?
Usually they got like an old, a blade that, you know, with some kind of piece of equipment rotting away in the back. That's usually what they have on farms.
Well, I have one of those too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, there's a disker.
That's what I'm thinking of. A disker, yeah.
You've seen it. Little old tow hitch disker. Oh,
all right, so you're all set. All you need is the big tire and you're good to go. With an EIEIO.
E-I-E-I-O. Old McDonald. Old McDonald and his tractor tire.
That's right.
Old McDonald had a tire. You got to do the part.
E-I-E-I-O.
Wow.
Ooh.
Oh, man. So what do you guys got going on today?
Today, I don't know. She wanted to go to Publix to take advantage of the standing rib roast sale. We picked up some some inexpensive meat the other day. Inexpensive, not cheap. It was a New York strip loin roast for $7.99 a pound. And we got a few of them. Cut them into steaks. Super, super nice. We had one the other night. They were really good.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
And now they have a standing rib roast on sale.
I'd be buying cases of those.
Yeah.
Personally, that's my favorite. That's my jam right there, man.
I mean, Publix is a little bit more expensive, but they're like half price for, you know, for $9.99. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we just bought it for $19.99 a pound, so.
Mm-hmm. And they'll even cut it for you for free if you wanted to. The last ones I cut myself, which.
Oh, I'd have them cut it. I'd buy a case of it and tell them I want it all cut.
Yeah, I think they got a limit. I think you're only allowed two per person, but.
Oh, okay.
We can go back.
There's two of you.
That's right. No, last time there was two limit, and, you know, we each got two.
That's the way you do it right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Call up friends. Power numbers.
Call up your friends. Hey, come with me. Buy me. I'll give you a steak. Maybe even two steaks.
Well, we were looking at the sign in the back, and it says, you know, limit two per household. And she's like, well, just tell them we're brother and sister. And I'm like, can I still grab your butt, or is that weird now?
It's Florida, man. You're good to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even more acceptable in Alabama, from what I hear. I'm not trying to disparage, but, you know, hey, brotherly love, man. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, it'd be interesting. That would be interesting. You're in there, you're like, yeah, it's my sister, and you, for, you know, talking, you grab her butt. They'd be like, don't want to know. I'm not asking any questions. I'd prefer to leave this conversation entirely.
Yeah, I'm not really a PDA guy anyway, so it worked out okay. Nobody asked any questions.
Yeah. PDA.
We're doing the checkout thing. We got the little plastic, you know, divider. No, that's not my stuff. That's her stuff.
Oh.
Two separate orders, please.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know who the heck that is.
Start moving some stuff over to her.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody will notice.
Nobody noticed. Nobody cares.
But still, that's a pretty good deal, man. $9.99 is ridiculously good. Really is. $7.99.
Well, the New York strip for $7.99 was pretty good.
Yeah. I'm not a big New York fan. I just don't like New York strip.
It was trimmed really nice, man.
That's the part I don't like about it. I like the last time we got New York strip, we bought a case of it because same thing on sale. And we ended up turning it into pot roast.
Really?
I like fatty, you know, very, you know, with a lot of intermuscular fat. I like that, like a ribeye. Mm. That I like. You know, I would take a picanha 100%, 100% of the time over a New York strip.
Mm.
I just don't like them. It's never been my thing. I've had some really good ones. Don't get me wrong. I've had really good ones that I very much enjoyed. But that same quality of steak and a ribeye would have been my preference.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we're going to pick up some ribeyes and do the whole vacuum sealing thing. And set ourselves up for the new year, at least to start.
Yeah, we have a chub of burger meat we need to break down, and same thing, vacuum seal, and then also a whole packer of ribeye as well that we need to cut down, create a roast out of, and then cut into steaks and vacuum seal and all that good stuff. And then we got chickens. I need to get a chicken into the smoker and roast that bad boy up, smoke it up, and then we will have two carcasses for soup sock, which we will do, then have chicken noodle soup without the noodle, but chicken noodle soup.
Nice.
Oh, it's so good, dude. It's so good. I'm excited.
Now we did order a new plate for our grinder because we only had the really coarse one, but we got the smaller one, and we ordered a new blade for it, and we're going to do that that chunk of brisket that we cut off, we're going to turn that into some hamburger.
Yeah, make sure you mix it with regular hamburger too. 70-30, 80-20, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just 50-50 it. Literally weigh it out. Weigh out 50, you know, the same weight of hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
Cube up that brisket and throw it in there with the hamburger intertwined. I would give it one more run through. So I'd probably do it on coarse, then change the blade out to the finer and rerun the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
Well, because...
Run them together, you mean?
Yeah. Because as you put the brisket in there, you're going to get chunks of brisket meat, and then the hamburger is going to come through, then the brisket, and then once you got all that, you just grab a mosh of that, and it'll have both. And then you'll put it in there, it'll kind of mix it up a little bit better and give you a little bit finer of grind. Because on the big, thicker one for burger meat, it kind of leaves meat noodles. For me,
that's why we got the smaller one. It's still coming in the mail.
Yeah. Oh, because you guys bought that one, like on Marketplace or did something like that, right? You
found
on a really nice one.
Number 10 or 12 Lem that we got. Yeah, we got it on Marketplace. It was like still in the box. I think they might have used it once and said this ain't for us.
Yep. And
it came with two plates, but they only had the coarse one. They lost the fine one. And then, they're like, well, we'll give it to you cheaper. I'm like, okay. We were making dog food out of it anyway, with it.
Yeah.
We never actually used it for us.
Yeah. No, and honestly, I mean, that's the way to make burger meat. Mm. If you use burger meat, go buy a whole chuck. Just buy a whole chuck. That's it.
Is it cheaper that way?
Yeah.
Oh,
way cheaper. Yeah, typically.
Yeah.
Typically. Yeah. But you'll have to go and search for chuck on, special, et cetera. But that's you look at good burger meat, it's ground chuck roast is what it is.
Okay.
That's got a good fat to meat ratio. If you want to trim it out so you have much leaner beef, you can grab like a top round, whole top round. And just slice chunks off of that sucker in there and add it in. And you'll get kind of a mixture of a leaner and more fatty.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
See, now my wife can watch this and she has the whole tutorial what to do now. She was asking me. I'm like, oh, I'll find out.
Yeah, it's and I'm telling you, those burgers are going to be so good.
All right, yeah. I'm holding you to it.
Oh, yeah. Very good, very good.
We you still have that... I was going to say the fat cut off that she was going to turn that into tallow too.
Oh yeah.
Still going to do that part.
For sure. Just keep it low. Just let it keep going and riding. You may want to skim out the beef crisps as you're going through it. They're pretty tasty, but they are pretty fatty as well, but they'll be crispy and kind of yummy. I like them a little bit, not a lot, but
so the way you do it, you just put it in a cast iron pan and just slow and just let it sit. Like, how long does it take, do you think?
A couple hours, maybe.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. It's not that terrible. It does, you'll smell it throughout the house, though. That's the only downside to it. If you had, like, a turkey fryer or something, you could do it outside. It'd probably be better as far as the smell goes.
What about, like, a crock pot or something? Would that work or no?
Yeah, it should. Yeah. I've never tried it, but it should. It should work perfectly, in fact.
Hmm.
Just set that sucker on high and let it go. Yeah.
Think it makes less mess that way? I don't know.
Probably, yeah.
Because
it will splatter as it's going through, especially if there's chunks of meat in there, which there will be, little
right.
pockets here and there. Yeah. Now I'm hungry. Now I'm really hungry. Wow.
You guys got Publix near you. You can go get some standing rib roast.
Our Publix are ass, dude. I'm not kidding you. Our Publix are terrible. They're like the lowest of the low.
Really? On the chain.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they're not. There's one in Charlotte that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
And more like what you guys have, but like the Publix near us is crap. It's not great. Wow. It's just not. I don't know what the standard is or why that it's like Florida. You go into a Publix and they're nice. I mean, they're really nice.
Yeah, no, everything's always clean and the people are, you know, the employees are super nice. They're very helpful. They don't ignore you. It's not like going to Walmart where they seem irritated that you ask them or something.
Yeah. Why are you asking me to do my job?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, here they're just not. They're not all that. Harris Teeter is the top end brand for regular and not Whole Foods or whatever, which I would consider more boutique. But the regular grocery store, higher end grocery store is Harris Teeter. Publix opened one up across the street from like the flagship Harris Teeter, and it's not great.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's just a different, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how they handle their stores, if it's all corporate. I think it is, right?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what the deal is, but our Publix here are not like your Publix there. It is not, like, I would prefer to just hit up Food Lion instead.
Really?
Yeah.
See, to me, and I'm not knocking Food Lion, it just seems like a little bit lower level to me. Yeah, but
it is. 100%. It's very, very much so. But Publix is basically that here.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, do they make like the subs and everything? Not that I eat them, but the Publix or no?
The one near us, I don't know that they did. No.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that they had all that.
Because we always bypass, like, all the good stuff, like the bakery. And, I mean, you smell it when you go buy it. And I would love to have some of that stuff. I just don't. There's a lot of people that complain that Publix is very expensive. And, like, I guess they could be. But we only shop the perimeter of the store anyway. So, the fruits and vegetables and, like, even, like, the squash. It's actually cheaper at Publix than it is at Winn-Dixie. So, I don't know. You know, there's a lot of buy one, get one stuff, and I guess if you buy it right, it seems okay. And then, you know, the meat deal seems good to me. I don't know.
I had a great experience. I wanted to go, like, we got a Publix, and I was like, oh, dude, now we've got Publix. And it wasn't what I saw in Florida, you know? The Publix, every Publix we went to, I think we hit like four of them or five of them while we were down there. And every single one of them was really nice. I mean, there was that one that is nicer than some of the others, but I mean, all of them were, you know, top tier grocery chain, you know what I mean? The ones near us just aren't. They're not at the level of Harris Teeter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which is weird to me, right? Now, again, there is the one in Charlotte that I went to that is, I would say, better than a Harris Teeter. A little more sterile than a Harris Teeter. Not a little, a lot more sterile than like a high-end teeter where they'll have wood and, you know, like the beer and wine section, they've got like wood mantles set up. It just has that kind of, you know, feel to it. Whereas Publix is
feeling.
Yeah, exactly. A lot more like, yeah, classy. Publix is more, no, we are, you know, plain white linoleum tiled floors and plain white shelving units and, you know, fluorescent lighting everywhere is lit very brightly. Everything's neat and orderly, tidy, very clean, but there's no like, oh, here's our cheese area that's got like, you know, wood barrels set up and stuff. It's just, here's the cheese area that's in a display thing. You know what I mean? Right.
But and you do have that other cheese store.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole different ball game. That's an actual cheese store.
You're right. Like, that's like something else. Yeah. What is the name of that place?
Orman's Cheese Shop. It's in Charlotte. Yeah. And it is fantastic. The owner is a wonderful gentleman. I believe he's Spanish. And, you know, all of the staff there are very helpful, extremely knowledgeable, and they have very, very top tier cheeses. I mean, excellent stuff, as well as charcuterie and, you know, a whole host of other things. But the primary thing there is cheese. So when you go there, it is a cheese shop, right? So if you want raclette, if you want, you know, if you want blue cheese that will blow your mind, that's, it's just, it's an amazing, I love that place. I could just
tried all there. The cheeses, even the ones that, like, normally I would be like, there ain't no way I'm touching that. Like, what the heck is in it? It's like growing stuff. I ain't eating that. And I tried them all, and they were pretty good.
Yeah.
Especially the one that had like ash in it, black ash. I'm like, dude, there ain't no way. That was probably the best one.
So good. Yeah. So good. Mm. Yep. In the raclette, you were kind of like, I don't think I want to eat that. I don't think I'm going to like that.
Is that where those meats come from too? Or is that somewhere else? So no, they do have meats.
Yep. They have the charcuterie. Dried meats, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and really, really high end, right? So, you know, like, you know, top tier Iberico ham, if that's your gig, you know, speck, soprasetta, you know, I mean, just you name it, whatever you want, pretty much, you know, prosciutto, whatever you want, they're going to have like a really high end version of it. And it's going to be really tasty. So good. So good. And doing raclette, you put all this in your little cup, your little tray, and you put it under the burner, and it melts the cheese, and the rind gets kind of crispy crunchy, and you pour it over your potatoes or maybe a little slice of baguette with some meats and some pickled stuff in there, and you eat it. Oh, it's... Yes.
I'm very inexperienced in life, apparently, because I had never heard of raclette before.
Well, it's a European thing, so it's not it's not that common in the U.S. But it's fantastic.
I mean, I have to agree with that. I enjoyed it very much.
If you like melted cheese, this is your bag, man.
It's kind of like a grown up grilled cheese sandwich for
it's Lunchables for grown ups.
That's kind of what it is.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. You just have like this. It's great for parties too. You know, if you've got people over or whatever, because you just kind of make your own little individual thing. You hang out while it's cooking. You talk. You laugh. You know, and you know everyone sees what everyone else is. Oh, that looks good. What'd you do with that? And, you know, and it just lasts a long time. It's not like here's your plate. Everybody eats. We're done. We clear the table. It's more we're sitting around there for an hour and a half, 2 hours, just pushing trays in and eating a little bit, waiting for a slot to open to put my next tray in. And, you know, it works. And it's amazing. And don't be off put by the smell. Okay. It does have that. It has a little bit of a funk to it, right? A little bit of that, what I like to call
raclette smell. Yeah, dude, that stuff smelled like dirty gym socks or something.
And yeah.
I was like, no, that ain't happening.
Yeah, but the second you taste it, it's a whole different game. You're like, oh, that is so good.
Pretty much, yeah. I was surprised. Yep. I fell for the, let me go back. I'm just going to get one more. I fell for that a couple times, and then by the end of the night, I was like, whoa, maybe I shouldn't have done that last one. But I got room for one more.
Right.
It's a little tricky. It hurts. So.
Maybe I should have one more.
I did that. Yes.
Yeah. It's hard not to because it is just fantastic. It is, you know, we do it once a year, typically, maybe twice a year, depending, right around the holiday season. Alpaca's a good one. We'll be doing it over Christmas with, you know, our oldest, and, you know, he really enjoys it. It's just a great gig, you know. It's like one of those, and it's easy, right? You don't have to like throw together a meal and do all. You just cut some cheese chunks up and throw some charcuterie on a plate, and that's it. Here, go to town, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty easy.
Yeah, and that's about the only time of the year I eat bread, and that was excellent too. So,
yeah. The baguettes, they came from Mormons as well.
Okay.
So, yeah. French bakery in Charlotte that makes fresh baguettes every day, and they, you know, Ormond's gets them and sells them. So, nice. Yeah, fantastic. Just fantastic meal. So that'll become an alpaca staple now. This is the second year we've done it, and everyone's loved it. So it's just, we love it. Everyone else loves it. Why not?
Yeah, the first year, I guess, was like the one I missed for some reason, because I don't remember that. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah.
You misser of alpacas.
Happened once. Hopefully it don't happen again.
I'm going to cross my fingers on that one, knock on my desk. It's made out of wood.
Used to be plastic. No, that one's real wood. All right.
It was plastic. Now the oldest has that one. He loves it.
Oh, okay.
He's happy. So he came up. It went in the back of his vehicle, which is
packed.
Pretty amazing. It's 72-inch stand-up desk. Okay, 72 inches fit in a RAV4.
Barely. I saw it.
Yeah, but it fit inside of a RAV4 and drove from North Carolina to Florida. So he, you know, it worked. That's all, you know, at the end of the day, it fit.
We ran out of room in our little Mazda.
Yeah.
We tried.
They're tiny.
They are kind of tiny.
I still have a computer for you.
A what?
Computer. it will go into a much smaller case. Just because the case is large doesn't mean it has to be in a very large case. You can get a case for like $80.
All right.
Just saying. I'd even help you put it in the other case.
Will it fit into like a lunchbox?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well,
bigger than a lunchbox.
It depends. Whose lunchbox?
Right.
Yeah. No, it won't. No.
Okay.
So you're set on a laptop.
No. I'm not set on anything.
Except a laptop.
I'm just low on space. That's all.
Yeah, but it goes under your desk.
Oh, okay.
What's under your desk besides your feet?
My legs.
What else?
But the desk has to move. That's the only problem.
Why is it going to move?
Because the studio is as large as it seems on camera. Is this big?
Size doesn't matter, Alex. Even a small
studio. That's not
studio,
what she said.
Even a small studio can make magic occur. It's about how you use it.
That's what I try saying, too. They don't always fall for it, though. Well, she's fallen for it so far, but...
You bedazzled it nicely with the background, though. So it's perfect, you know?
Yeah.
Clean lines. Everything's perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. It's good.
I need like some nice wood, vintage wood, you know, paneling with a whiskey shelf or something. That looks nice.
It might. I kind of like your background, though. I really do. A lot of people have asked about it, too.
It's better
than
nothing.
Which is pretty cool. Well, I mean, it's got that, for me, it's got that kind of geeky, you know, nerdy, like cool vibe to it. You know what I mean?
What? Yeah, no, it's okay.
I mean, it's a bunch of video game cartridges, so geeky, nerdy kind of fits in there. And
you can't even see the dust on them from here.
I doubt there's any dust on them. I highly doubt that.
Just probably a little bit.
You're going to go search it out? Yeah, you should probably take everything off of those shelves.
Mm-hmm.
Reorganize and clean everything out really nicely. Make sure every cartridge is...
I'm going to take them all off, and I'm going to put them in reverse alphabetical order just so I can change things up.
You know what you should do is put them in alphabetical order, but also sectioned out by genre.
Yeah, it's hard to decide whether you want to put them in, like, you know, label color order or alphabetical order or... It's hard. Hard decisions.
But never genre? Like, here's all the sports ones.
No.
Here's all the, you know, more flying. Here's the driving. Here's the, you know, RPG.
Now the sports type. Games. The sports games are in the garbage can down there.
Oh, are they? I got them because I needed the collection to be complete, but I didn't kind want of. Them.
Yeah, okay. They're not. The sports games are not the best. Like probably Tecmo Bowl is probably the best one. But I'm not really. I'm not really a football fan, so.
Yeah, yeah. You remember the little things? Do you remember the first video games, the football, and you had like, they had the little handheld thing with a little screen, just the yards across and little dots, and it made the.
I've seen one. I never had one.
And then they.
I remember the sound more than anything.
Yeah, and then they came out with one that had two keyboards on it and one screen, so you could play with a friend. You could play against them.
Yeah.
Remember that?
No.
Cool stuff.
No, I had maybe the little, the thing with the water in it, with the little hoops, and you press the thing, and it spirals, and you try to land it on the peg.
Yeah, yeah. I had one of those, too. Yeah. Mm. That was cool. The football one was arguably a little better. I remember Pong, too. I remember when the local, I think it was a Shakey's Pizza at the time, and was it Shakey's? Probably Shakey's, but they got the video game in. They got video games, and they had Pong, and they had it in a big stand-up one, and then they also had a tabletop one. Remember those? You'd go to a pizza place, and there'd be like a video game, but it was a table.
Like a cocktail table, yeah.
Yeah, you could sit at it. Mm-hmm. And the controls were under the table surface, and then the other person could sit at it, and so we'd play Pong while eating pizza at Shakey's. I was a little kid, but it was pretty cool.
I do remember my father would have bought it. We did have a Pong machine. It had like wood grain on it and stuff, and
nice.
But we weren't allowed to use it. I wasn't allowed to use it because he was afraid it was going to burn lines in the TV. So I never really played it.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, yeah. And then the old Atari consoles.
I never had an Atari. The first thing I got was a Nintendo.
Oh, really?
One of my uncles gave it to me, yeah.
Dude, the Ataris were cool, but the joystick thing, the bottom of it, that pad, was just literally a circuit board with a ring on it of, you know, basically solder. And another ring up on top of solder. And as you pulled the joystick, it would just touch in whichever area you were touching.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, as you can imagine, kids playing video games.
Right.
All of a sudden, it'd stop working. And you have to pull it apart and, you know, fix stuff. And that's where I learned to tear apart electronics.
All right. My cousins had an Atari, so I would play theirs when I went to visit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had a friend that had another one. I don't remember what it was, but it had a controller that was like a longer, thinner one and a little dial in it.
Oh, like an Intellivision.
Yeah, it might have been it, yeah.
Mm.
That was pretty cool, too. They had like a battleship game where you had like ships.
Did that have like the little plastic inserts you put on the controller? Like, they had like little, you know, thin plastic overlays you'd put on the controller to tell you what buttons did what. There's like a number pad on it or something.
Yeah, I'm trying. The thing that stood out to me was the touch sensor thing. That was the thing that I thought was like one of the coolest things, because nothing else had that. It was all kind of analog stick type of a thing, or balls. If you remember, there was another one out that had a ball, like, remember Missile Command, that kind of a setup.
Oh, yeah.
Like a ball. For
a trackball kind of thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Like an upside-down mouse.
Interesting.
Which, again, we go back to the mouse balls. For the younger people in this audience, the mouse for your computer used to have a ball in it. And wheels. And the wheels controlled the XY axis and all this stuff. But the balls would get gunked up with
lint,
junk. It wasn't lint. It was like gross. Whatever it was gross because it was like sticky, almost like an earwax, dirty earwax or something. You'd have to take that thing out and clean your mouse ball. So, yes, I have cleaned mouse balls.
Wow.
I know. I know. They didn't complain much, though.
That's good. You didn't get bit?
I did not get bit.
All right. I
just kind of let it happen. I was like, all right. If I'd had a testacuzzi for my mouse balls.
Dude, is that an actual product?
There's a website. I have no idea.
There is a website. Did you see the price on them?
I did not. No.
$69. So, like, of course it is. Well, that I don't know if it's just a means. Joke. Like, I mean, even if it's real, it's pretty expensive for one of them things, but it's got to be a joke if you put the price at $69.
I meant to and I didn't. It was going to be a gag Christmas gift for someone. Mm-hmm. And I forgot. So I never followed through. I don't think it's a real product.
Don't think it is.
Yeah. But you never know, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some weird stuff out there. You know what I mean?
Right.
I've seen some very strange products before. So.
So do you follow news events at all? Did you see they reclassified cannabis now?
Yeah.
Federally? Well, what is that going to mean? Is it going to change anything or?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know, Schedule 3 is still illegal, still needs a prescription. So it was a big nothing burger, as with most things that politicians do. You know, essentially what it does do is it opens it up for more research, et cetera. But you can bet your ass here's what's going to happen is pharmaceutical companies are going to go and look at something that offers an amazing alternative to pain meds and anxiety medication and a lot of other medication that has serious, serious side effects, et cetera, as it is. Doesn't need to be modified. At all, in any way, shape, or form, just use it, and it is beneficial for these things. Cancer patients, for appetite, for pain, for sleep management, for all of these things that it's been shown to be very beneficial for, the pharmaceutical companies are going to go and try and isolate the exact compound, and they're going to deliver a cannabis-derived drug that will then have massive dangerous side effects and, who knows, probably kill or disable or maim people for whatever, because you can't patent a plant. That's why. You can't sell for, you know, ungodly sums of money a plant. But if you do this jackassery, then you can continue to keep legislation and regulation in place to keep people from being able to use it as a fucking plant that would literally grow in your yard. Okay?
Like a weed.
Like a weed. Wow. How weird. Why would they call it weed? Oh, that's right. Because it's a freaking weed. It essentially is a weed. It will grow in very terrible conditions. It just grows. Okay. And then essentially they'll end up, you know, introducing legislation. Well, you don't need to legalize it because of the fact that we've isolated these compounds now that we can do this. And yeah, okay, there's some side effects. Maybe some people are going to go blind. A few people are going to have mental disorders that are going to be life altering for them. Maybe, you know, a couple few people might just die or whatever, you know, but it's okay. Now we can do it safely. And for those that are wondering, the amount of cannabis you would have to take in to cause a side effect that was life-altering for you is impossible. You cannot do it. You will fall asleep before you manage to take in that much cannabis. That's it. So, yeah, I don't understand it. I don't understand it I mean, I guess I do understand it, and it always comes back to the same thing, right? It's that almighty dollar, and the pharmaceutical companies are the largest lobbying group, if not the largest, very, very close to the largest lobbying group in our absolutely failed. You thought I was going to say something different, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Government system. They don't have your interest in mind. They have their money in mind. This should be very obvious to you by now. Very obvious to you. Okay? If it's not, I don't know what rock you're living under. Like, puppies. Puppies.
I still think it's intensely weird that you hear all these advertisements for products that you can't actually buy. Like, you can't go out to the store and buy them. Like, why are you advertising to me?
So that you can go ask your doctor if Sim Fuck Up is right for you.
Right? Dude, before I'm still in the free Spotify trial, but before that, I would get the ads, and the ads for that crap at the end, it's like 30 seconds of may cause death, paralysis, loss of limbs, loss of life, loss of bodily functions. You know, like, it goes on for like 30 seconds. I'm like, dude, who would even take that after that? Like, do they not listen to it?
People don't care. They just want a pill to fix them. It's like this whole, and don't get me wrong, I'm sure there are uses where this is beneficial stuff, but the whole Ozempic and what's that called again? The LP1 or what is it?
GLP-1?
Yeah, GLP-1 stuff, right? All that stuff. You've got people that have no business taking that.
Mm.
Taking it. I just can't lose this 10 pounds around my waist. That's, now you're blind. Oops. Bummer. Sorry. And some of those people are now learning a very tough lesson. That weight does come off. It works. It does work. But for some reason, people are experiencing coming off of it and not only gaining that 10 pounds back, but another 10 pounds on top of
it. Right.
What? So you either take it for life, which will fuck you up. It will. In some way, shape, or form. May not be noticeable to you, but it will. For what? Go do something. Stop eating crap food.
Mm.
It doesn't take much to drop weight. It really doesn't. Just stop. Two things. If you just do this alone, the majority of people would start dropping weight. That need to. Just two things. No sugar. No carbs. Just do that. 30 days. Give it a shot. See what happens. 30 days. That's it. Just 30 days. That's just it. It's just a tiny little inconsequential speck of your life. 30 days. Give it a shot.
But it's easier to take a pill or a shot.
It is. It is. It is. And
that's what it comes down to, I think.
It does. It does. In a lot of cases, that's exactly what it comes down to. It's hard. I don't want to. I want to eat the sweet snack cakes. I want to eat the ice cream on a brownie with chocolate fudge over it and, you know, all this kind of crap. Yeah, so do I. I do. Guess what? I do. But I contain that to probably once or twice a year where I just go off the reservation, you know? Mm. The rest of the time, I found healthier alternatives. Right? Like, my wife makes this amazing frozen yogurt, and it's like full fat Greek yogurt. Okay. A little bit of cream, heavy cream, just a little bit. And that just helps prevent ice crystals the way that they normally form. Vanilla beans and honey. And then she uses the juice of one organic lemon and the zest from one organic lemon. That's it. You mix it together and you've got a very sweet, very wonderful, it's amazing. We served it at Alpaca. We ran out of ice cream. It's not ice cream. It's frozen yogurt. But we ran out. Everyone liked it, I think.
Everybody.
Did you like it?
Even the people that don't usually like anything.
True. True. You liked it, right?
I did.
Yeah. It to me, the flavor of it tastes a lot like a lemon meringue pie. It really does. So, you know, we also do it with blackberries. We'll juice blackberries or raspberries or blueberries or whatever. And same thing. Instead of lemon, we just use blueberry juice or blackberry juice or raspberry juice. And it's amazing. I have no craving for any kind of an ice cream. And if I do, I eat some of this and it's solved. I'm done. So it's about changing little things in your life and looking for ways to get that fix, if you will, for whatever it is, right? It's kind of like we were talking about the spaghetti swash, right? Making spaghetti. No, it's not spaghetti noodles. It will never be spaghetti noodles, but it's close enough. And the texture and everything about it, it's satisfying. And you get the bonus of knowing that this isn't like killing you. I don't know. I could probably say that in a nicer way, but yeah, it's not killing you.
So I don't know. One thing I find very curious is that, and this is from my own personal experience, when I would eat the McDonald's and the Doritos and the M&Ms and the Little Debbie snack cakes and all that stuff, carrots and peas and green beans and squash just was not appetizing. It did not taste good. I did not want it. But when you cut that other stuff out, like the squash and the carrots and the green beans, it actually starts tasting good and you start craving that stuff more.
You crave it.
Surprisingly, I would never have thought it.
Yeah, no, I literally will have times where I'm like, you know what, I'm just craving Brussels sprouts.
Or I want broccoli. Cauliflower, any of that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, I really want this. You know, it's not like you said, it's not crap food. My body's going, hey, let's have some vegetables. And you're like, who are you?
Exactly.
Like me getting excited over chicken noodle soup. Keep in mind that this is going to take me 2 days to make. It is. It takes me a whole day to make chicken stock, you know?
Wow.
Well, yeah, because I do it on long, slow, and I really want to get as much of the nutrients and everything else out that I can. I literally take my chicken carcass, and I use the back end of my cleaver, a meat cleaver, not a vegetable cleaver. For those that don't know, there is a big difference. A vegetable cleaver is the size of a cleaver, but it's very light. Very sharp, used in Asian kitchens quite frequently, right? And it's a very good, you know, solid kitchen knife. A meat cleaver is much heavier, much heavier. Also sharp, but much heavier. And so I'll take the back of that and I smash every bone I can find, every knuckle, every bone, everything. Just scoop the whole thing in there, skin, meat, tendons, crushed up bones, the whole thing. Put some onions in there, just quarter them, throw them in there. Only take the skin off if it's got a sticker on it. And just that part. You don't need to take the skin off. Skin's fine. There's nothing wrong with onion skin. You're not going to eat it, okay? And chop up some carrots, throw those in there. Don't need to peel them. Don't need to do any of this stuff. You're making stock, okay? Wash them, but you don't need to peel them. The same with celery. And celery, you got to wash that stuff. Make sure you wash the celery because there's sand in there. So wash out the celery, chop that up, throw it in there. Some thyme, some rosemary from out the front door where it grows. And I like to add a little bit of oregano in there, maybe a couple of bay leaves, some peppercorns, about half a bulb of garlic. Just crush the cloves, throw them in there, skin and all. Boom, there they go. I can trust the garlic that we have because it was grown on my property and, you know, so do all that and then just put it in there, you know, fill it up over the top with water, and set it on low. Do this in the morning, about 8 a.m., somewhere around 8 p.m., turn it off, open the lid, let it start cooling, strain it, put it in jars, Let those cool. Throw them in the fridge. Next day, throw them in the freezer. Or you can can them if you want to put them in a pressure canner. You can can them. If freezer works. Nice. I got so much freezer space. Yeah. Well, and then when you want to make soup, you just pull one of these jars out. You throw it in a pot. You know, then you peel your carrots. Then you, you know, take the skins off your onions and stuff. But carrot, onion, celery, again, I'll go in with more rosemary and thyme and a little bit of pepper, not peppercorns this time. And I don't salt until probably I'm very close to finishing. Just don't. It doesn't really need to be in there for the long haul. And that way I can taste where the flavors are melting. Do I need more spices? Do I need more herbs? Do I need, what do I need in here, right? And then near the end, I'll add a little bit of salt, give it 15 minutes, you know, stir it real good, give it 15 minutes, come back, taste it. If I need a little bit more salt, I'll add a little bit more, but I do it slowly so that it doesn't become, I don't like super salty stuff. That's me.
Sounds good to me.
Well, that's very good. But, you know, then and so it's easy. You can make fresh homemade soup in, you know, two and a half hours on the stove, right? And by fresh, I mean you made the stock. You're not buying store-bought crap to throw in a pot. You're literally taking chicken that you, you know, it maybe in some cases you've raised, so you know what the chicken actually ate. You've harvested the chicken. You've smoked it or baked it or done whatever, and now you've got your chicken carcass in your stock pot with the vegetables you pulled out of your garden, water from your well, and you know, then you've got chicken stock. And when you do soup, you just put in fresh veggies. And the cool thing is all that chicken stock mess left over, you can give all that to your chickens. Just put the whole slop, whatever you strained out, throw that in your chickens. If you don't want to give it to your chickens, you're worried about bones or whatever, I wouldn't be that worried about it. But if you are, throw it in a compost pile. Oh, but it's got meat. Yeah, it sure does. And people are compost too. I'm just saying.
Fair enough.
You hungry now?
I am.
Yeah, me too.
Well, let's wrap this up so I can do lunch early.
Lunch. It's 10:30 in the morning.
That's all right. That's my schedule, man.
Oh, man. You guys don't eat breakfast, huh?
No.
Or do you try and get 12 or more than 12 hours between?
I don't know. We do 12, I guess. So I don't eat after pretty much dark. So like 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, I'm done. Nothing after that point until the next day. So yeah, at least 12 hours.
So it's more like 16 than if you eat around 10:30.
Yeah, so we'll eat it around 10:30 or 11, and then probably about 4 o'clock, and that's it.
Yeah, nice. I bet that's been huge for both of you with your glycemic stuff, right?
And then twice a day, or twice a week, we skip the lunch portion. So it's 24-hour until we eat. And we only eat one meal a day, twice a week.
Do your little fast. I mean, you're fasting every day, essentially.
Yeah.
You're giving your body 16 hours to slough off all the bad crap. And then on twice a week you do that?
Yeah.
All right. Twice a week you give it a full 24. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I go between.
Now, my wife has done a couple longer fasts for like 2 or 3 days. That's probably more than I want to do, but
yeah,
it's supposed to be pretty beneficial for you.
How did it work out for her? Did she notice anything different? Was it good? Was it bad? Was it hard? Was it easy?
I don't think it was easy, but I mean, it gets easier after the first day, I think.
Yeah. Now, did she do like bone broth or anything, or just water?
No, I mean, we have that electrolyte stuff that you got that We got the flavored one, though.
Yeah, the unflavored one that I don't have anymore. That was just
you got rid of it?
I couldn't do it. I just,
oh, no.
It was like, imagine just putting baking soda and sand in your water, and it just was that, and it was not good. Mm. It was pretty nasty. Like, you saw my face when I was drinking it. It's like,
I did see your face.
I could power through some stuff, and that was just not
you could happening. You couldn't have flavored it with, like, lemon juice or something? Or?
I did. It didn't help. You would have to use so much lemon juice that it would be also not good, right? I don't like super heavy lemon juice stuff. My wife does, but I don't.
You could have put, like, citric acid in it or something.
Let me go grab my citric acid. Hold on. I'll be right back.
You can just buy it. It's like a powder. You just sprinkle it in there.
I'm good. I just unburdened myself with those containers of that stuff.
We did notice that they, so we just bought a new container of that stuff. They did change the formula on it.
They did. Yeah. They removed.
They used to have turmeric and stuff in it. Now it does not.
Remove the turmeric and up the citric acid, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
The citric acid, you know, honestly, at first I was kind of off-put by it, but it's because I was still doing the same thing. Yeah. So when you first told me about it, and it was in a smaller container too, which was interesting.
It was.
When you first told me about it, I got it, and I had to add lemon juice to make it palatable. Now I don't. Adding lemon juice...
I think it tastes pretty decent, but...
Yeah, adding lemon juice made it taste worse to me. So I stopped doing that, and now it's great. I'm fine with it. It still seems to have most of the good stuff in it, and, you know, I get turmeric from other sources, so, like, turmeric.
Right.
So, I don't know. I don't know that there's, you know, there's a lot of them out there that are not as clean as that one. Mm-hmm. Which is the interesting piece. Even though they did change it, and I still think that was a bad move, especially removing the turmeric. I think that was just stupid.
Yeah. But I don't know that it really had that much in it. I think it was more for coloration purposes, probably.
But still.
It does seem to dissolve a lot better now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was probably another aspect of why they changed it.
It's
some people are off-put by the fact it doesn't dissolve, you know, fully in there.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, we bought it, and then, you know, Mrs. LX was like, "Hey, I'm so sorry," but I'm like, "Why are you sorry? It's not like you run the company and you change stuff on me." But she recommended
She was pretty mad about it. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, you know, I mean, in general, I'm kind of with her, right? I mean, if you're a consumer, a brand that has put something out that is the same. Before you go changing it, maybe you should solicit some feedback from your customers. Maybe you should see, you know, or at least let them know ahead of time and then take in feedback, you know, understand what's going on and help the public at least understand why you're doing it. You know, hey, we understand your concerns, the amount of turmeric, and it was just for coloring, and you're not really getting a huge benefit from that, right? So we would suggest taking turmeric as a supplement. We got a lot of complaints from people that it didn't dissolve correctly. A lot of people saying they had to add lemon juice or lime juice to make it more palatable. So we took all this feedback and we added some more citric acid, which people now like. They don't have to add something to it. They can just on the go, scoop it in their bottle of water, and they're good to go. And we made it so it dissolves a little bit better, and part of that may have had something to do with turmeric, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But, you know, have that kind of open conversation or dialogue with your customer base would be my suggestion.
So you did get a jar of the new stuff, and you like it?
Yeah, I actually got two, but I thought I was ordering the same thing, and they just came with the new formula, I guess. So taller jar, looks like same footprint, just taller. For some reason.
It is taller, yeah.
Yeah, and then...
It's like a little bit more in the jar, just like 0.9 more.
Yeah. So, I don't know, maybe that helps with maybe having a little more air in the container helps with not making it kind of cake, Because
maybe
I had a couple of times in the old formula. I will tell you this. This kind of bothered me. I had a couple of times where I took a scoop, but there must have been like some chunks in there or something.
Mm.
They didn't dissolve when I went to go swallow like this hard chunk of... Ooh. It felt sharp, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, it was in the back of my throat. And I was like, what is that? It was just a piece. Nice. You know, well, your tissue in your mouth is very soft, right? So if you touch it with your hands and went like this, it would just crumble, right? Little resistance. But in the back of your throat, it's all crystallized. So it's kind of a crystalline structure, and it wasn't comfy.
I did notice the foil liner that's under the cap is much more secure now, because we've got them before where they just fell off. They came off with the cap.
With the lid, yeah. Not all
and
the
now, lid, dude, that thing, like, they used a gallon and a half of glue. That thing, like, it ain't coming off by accident.
No, so maybe it was a good thing, you know? Maybe at the end of the day, it wasn't such a terrible thing.
Mm.
I don't know, you know? It seems to have the same basic everything, just a little change. So, I don't know. It's working for me.
I like the taste of it. I think it tastes a little bit better now. I don't know if it's the health-wise, whether it's still as good for you, but I like the new taste a little bit better myself.
Same.
But
same.
My wife's still angry about it.
Well, I can understand that. You know, you get used to something and then they just change the dang thing. It's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why'd you change that? Well, we thought it would be better. It's not. Put it back. It's like the beard guy. It's not better. Put it back. Original formula, man. It's like Coca-Cola.
That's right.
Put it freaking back.
I think that was planned. That was planned.
Of course it was. Of course it was.
Same thing with the Cracker Barrel deal.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Marketing 101. I hadn't heard about Cracker Barrel in years. All of a sudden, it's top of everything. Oh, my goodness. The logo's changing. The stores are changing.
I think the controversy is slowed down a little bit on that, though.
Well, they put it back.
Mm.
They didn't really ever not... They didn't... You get this, right? This was a $0 massive marketing campaign, most likely. You know? Like, we don't have to spend shit.
I don't know.
All we got to do is convince... Tell people that we're going to change it and make it, like, sterile and, you know, modern, and everyone's going to lose their mind. I bet you they saw an uptick in sales massively after that.
Maybe. I haven't been to one in a long time, so I don't know.
Yeah, we probably hit one maybe once a year, maybe once every few years. Yeah, maybe once every 3 years or something, 2-3 years. Yeah. Grandpa's Country Fried Dinner Breakfast. That's the one.
I'll just make it at home.
Well, same. So, I don't even make that at home because it's got stuff. I don't really want to eat this stuff. But, like, you know, a country fried steak and gravy is pretty freaking all right, dude. And I'm in for it. I like that stuff. It's a weakness for me. Gravy, country gravy. That's the stuff right there. Can't go wrong with fat, flour, and sausage.
Until you find out that it all comes in a plastic bag that they just open up and put on a plate and heat up for you.
Yeah, probably. Which seems a waste because they make sausage, so why wouldn't you just make your own gravy? Yeah, can't control it. It would be different at different places. That's why. Need that consistency.
Yep. Consistency. Mm-hmm. That's why.
Which McDonald's, you know, that's one thing, dude. Those guys literally came up with the most consistent fry in the world. Like, I was watching something the other day, a guy that does food stuff, Joshua Wiseman. Sorry if I got that wrong on the first one. Good chef guy, YouTuber guy, whatever. But he was in China. And was doing fast food places in China. And, you know, part of that, he was going to try the American fast food places in China. And it was like the fries. He's like, it's the same fry. And I remember watching the whole thing. They literally have their own potato farms. They grow their own version, their own, what am I trying to say here? Don't say that.
Same variety of potato?
Yeah, it's the same strain. It's the same, you know, they actually genetically modified their strain of potato to have the same potato grow, right? And so it's the same potato with the right kind of starch in it and all this other stuff, and they're very tightly controlled. And then they, you know, the whole processing, everything they do to it is the same. So no matter where you go in a McDonald's, that fry will always be a McDonald's fry, which is weird to me. Now I've had bad McDonald's fries. Usually it's just the ones that have been left under the heat lamp for too long, right? Or they didn't salt them properly, right? But in general, a McDonald's fry will be the same McDonald's fry you have no matter where in the world you happen to get it. That's pretty interesting.
Do you know what is different, though? The ketchup.
Oh, in different parts of the world? Sure. Yeah, because other parts of the world don't allow you to use, you know, chemicals and death
agents. That's exactly what it is.
In their food. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the, you know, the US of A, we like those things.
I mean, the color is different even.
Yeah, yeah, of course it is, because they have banned the use of carcinogenic dyes in most countries. Right. Not here. It's safe for you. Not for anyone else in the world, but for the United States, it's totally safe. And in, you know, whatever problems it causes, we have pills for that. That's why we have such a booming pharmaceutical industry. So it's totally safe. And we've got, you know, preventative, you know, not preventative. We've got treatments for whatever it may cause for you, which we're not saying it does. But if it did, then we can make money off that too. So it's okay. I mean, we can help you out there too. So it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a wonderful world we live in there, Jimbo.
Right.
Yeah. I'm hungry still, but I don't,
me too.
I don't want ketchup from the United States.
No.
No. It's a lot of corn syrup. Why is it a lot of it? Why does corn syrup have to be in literally, like, you talked about it earlier, you hit it, and this is honestly change your life advice here. When you go into a grocery store, the only walls you should be shopping off of are the exterior walls of the grocery store, period.
Mm.
All those shelves in the middle, they are trying to kill you.
Fair enough.
Or make you dependent on the pharmaceutical industry. You'll either be dependent on the food, which you will 100%, because they put sugar or corn syrup in just about freaking everything. And why? Because it's highly addictive. Highly addictive.
Corn is also subsidized by the government, and they got to find some kind of use for it.
Exactly. That's why it's in our gas. That's why it's in pretty much every food substance out there. That's why it's used the way it is. It is.
Mm.
Yeah. And, you know, now I'm starting, I've got a friend that has a corn allergy. Corn allergy. I wonder why.
Yeah. Actually, the girl that we get our goat milk from, she's allergic to corn. I never heard of that before.
Yep.
Apparently it's a thing.
Well, I'm going to go back to the old thing, right? I mean, growing up, I never once even heard of a peanut allergy, a nut allergy. Yeah. Never even heard of it. But a couple decades before that, peanut oils started to be used in freaking everything.
Probably better than soybean oil.
No. Yeah. True.
Maybe.
True.
I didn't know soybean oil was an industrial lubricant.
Most of the seed oils are.
Mm.
Yeah, they were developed as an industrial lubricant. And if you saw what it, you might change your mind on wanting to consume that stuff. go look it up. Go do some YouTubing on what seed oils originally were used for and why they became food items.
And what are McDonald's fries made in now?
Oh, 100% seed oils, baby.
They used to use tallow, I think.
Tractor lube.
So, yeah. I think some of these places, I think it's like Steak and Shake went back to tallow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a number of places did, and we'll see if that holds, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure it's much more expensive.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Without question. But, you know, the health benefits of switching from, you know, a seed oil to a traditional fat are huge, right?
Or just don't eat French fries.
Well, you probably shouldn't be eating fried foods in the first place. But hey, if you're going to,
I don't even eat potatoes anymore. So, like, I mean, like, I would love to have some, but
yeah. Sweet potatoes.
Yeah, I guess I haven't tried those yet.
Oh, really?
No. Well, I mean, not the French fry part. No.
Yeah,
I don't have an air fryer.
That's so. We're gonna try that. Sweet potatoes in the air fryer probably won't be great.
How it works.
Probably not great, is my guess, but we'll see. If it's good, then hey, there's another substitute: sweet potato air fryer fries.
Nice.
Yeah, it'll be what it is. All right.
All right, time for lunch.
Yeah, I think we're about done for today. We're both hungry now. It's our own fault. But, hey. All right. Well, hey, thank you again for joining us for another episode of the Space Tomatoes Podcast. We're glad you came. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, give us a thumbs up. If not, give us a thumbs down. Leave a comment. Give us suggestions, tips, ideas, feedback. I don't know. Just be weird. Be you. Do your thing. Click that subscribe button if you haven't already. Just tickle that thing. A little toggle. We release one of these a week. So we're not going to like inundate you with notifications and yeah. Just give us a little love. Click, click, click. All right, cool. PSA is done. All righty. You can find us on YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Podcast Addict, Podbean, X, formerly known as Twitter, and Telegram, where you can find us by opening up your browser from your mobile device or your computer or any browser. And just type in t.me/spacetomatoes, all one word. That'll bring you into our Telegram chat. There you can hang out, get some extra information, see the videos there, download them if you want. Talk with us. Share memes. Have fun. Whatever you want to do. Or don't. I don't care. And remember, wherever you are, whenever you're watching this, have an amazing day.
See you, everybody. Thanks for coming by.